Welcome, everybody, to the Minimap Cast. This is the bi-weekly installment of our podcast from minimap.com.au. My name is Kerry Palmer, as always. I'm here with Jeremy Bratatich.
Hello.
And June Williams.
Hello.
We're here to talk about the game
specifically
industry
dreams,
news.
Honestly. We're just here to talk about dreams.
We are here to talk about 20 minutes. Dreams. We played like 10... We watched Jeremy play 10 minutes of it before, and we might talk about it for much... Like many multiples more than that, but hopefully not, because that would be, we don't have that much of an understanding of it. But yeah, no, we're here to talk about the Dreams beta that we just played, what we've been playing in the last couple of weeks. We've got June's Question Corner, which is a big one, which we set up last week, last episode, that I've totally been thinking about since then.
Do you have a question also to
yes.
ask for?
Okay, cool. I do remember how I said I've got a huge list of questions.
June's a professional,
questions.
Jeremy. How could you be so fucking insulting?
Professional podcaster.
Oh my God.
You got your answer yet?
No. Thank you for reminding me. We're also going to talk about the news of the last couple of weeks. Some interesting excitements, some Star Wars news, a development of the Sekiro debate, easy mode accessibility in games debate.
Even though we talked about that last time.
This is the development.
Yeah, okay.
So I said at the end of the last one, I'm excited to see if this peters out or if it develops. And this is the development of that.
I feel like this is almost the end of it.
Yeah, I'd say
for
so.
For Sekiro.
Because it kind of has petered out, but there's sort of this like full stop that I found that I want to bring up. So, let's talk about dreams, everybody. So, like, we were setting up this podcast. The Dreams beta went live in Australia, in Melbourne. We were setting up to this podcast, and it just went live, and we bought it and played the start of it, and it was...
And I looked at my bank balance, and I found that I got paid about 20 minutes beforehand, and I went, yep, there's $40 gone.
You so quickly just threw that money into the PlayStation.
Hell yeah.
You just smacked your wallet into that screen.
I've been hanging out for Dreams for such a long time.
So long.
Like... You know, I'm a huge fan. So I'm gonna fix that. I'm a huge fan of Media Molecule.
Yep.
I love Little Big Planet.
Yep.
I love Little Big Planet 2.
Yep.
I love Tearaway.
Yep.
And the
you're missing one.
Tearaway Unfolded.
You're missing one. What about Little Big Planet 3?
That wasn't Media Molecule.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I knew what I was doing. Besides, I didn't love that one anyway.
Rude.
Nah, it's fine. It's just like fine. Like I remember going to PAX and, you know, meeting people behind Tearaway and, you know, talking to them for a bit when they were releasing Tearaway Unfolded and just thinking, man, these people just know how to make some creative fucking games.
Yep.
And this is no different.
No. So there's this, so it's the early access creators beta. I don't think that's its official title, but that's what it is. So in this thing, it's early access, so, you know, it comes with all the asterisks of, you know, storage file sizes may change at any point, and the game may change, and this and that, and
content in the beta may not be in full release.
Exactly, all that stuff. So, you know, this particular build is full of asterisks, and it doesn't have any Media Molecule authored content the way Little Big Planet did.
Aside from the very opening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's got an introduction.
Yeah, it's got... And it's honestly really delightful, that intro.
Yeah. It gave me a vibe. So, Little Big Planet 1 came out roughly at the beginning of the PlayStation 1... PlayStation 3 release.
Yeah,
very
so
close
2007, 2008,
yeah.
Somewhere around there.
And I remember seeing ads for the game, and one particular ad struck me, which was just... It was an ad in a magazine for the game, and it was just a big poster which had a lot of different letters, like a lot of different looking letters, and the ad read, this entire ad was made in Little Big Planet.
Right.
And I remember thinking, oh wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then playing it, and the opening is like delightful, and it's about, you know, imagination and creativity.
So is this Dreams or...
Little Big Planet.
Right.
Yeah, and it was narrated by Stephen Fry. And it was just like a delightful little experience into, you know, being as creative as possible.
Yeah.
In this little story, as well as like level creation builder. And yeah, so watching the intro to Dreams was like huge fucking vibes of like playing Little Planet 1 for the first time 11 years ago at this point, 12 years ago almost.
When Jeremy was 2.
If anyone wants to tell me who the narrator for Dreams is, you can at me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to... Yeah,
yeah, it's this lady who... I mean, did a great job. Like, it's a great
It's incredible, but the voice is so fucking familiar and I cannot pinpoint who it is, yeah. and I can't find it anywhere online. So
it's just
yeah.
Ashley Birch.
JUN_EWS, please.
Yes, it's very important. A matter of extreme urgency.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was really quite interesting, and it introduced you to the mechanic of this imp, which is your like creator tool. It's your mouse, basically. You move the mouse, the imp, around the screen by like rotating the 6-axis controller. It's like actually kind of good.
Sorry, I tried to Google it, and the first response came up was Keith David, and I don't think it was him.
It was definitely not the Arbiter.
Yeah.
Or the narrator of like the Ken Burns jazz documentary.
Oh, fuck, what if it was the Arbiter though?
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't think he can handle... Do you think Keith David's voice can handle whimsy?
Yes. The Arbiter's hilarious.
That's not whimsy.
I was being sarcastic.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry.
Hello.
You'll find out soon when it comes to PC.
MCC.
Wow. Cool.
Not to be confused with MMC, the Minimap Cast, which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Don't take our acronym, Halo.
So it was really... It was really delightful. And then we got to sort of see all of the closed beta content that came out that people were making, three or four months ago now.
Yeah, and like, some of it was like breaking NDA.
Yeah, totally. But I think all of it is still there. I think all of it is still accessible. So people playing now, like we jumped in and just started looking at people's creations.
We jumped in 15 minutes after a launch in Australia and there was already a lot of stuff there.
So we're
assuming it's from the previous beta.
Yeah. But it looks really robust and like... We've spoken about it before. There's lots of different ways that you can create, but stuff that I thought was really cool that we saw in this one was they've got like game jams, like 2-week long game jams. So like there's a theme for the jam and you can make something for it and people view your creations and vote on them and stuff like that, and you could be like the winner of the game jam, and then like all of the creations you can credit other creators alongside with you, and
yeah,
it credits people whose assets you use and stuff like that, like.
Yeah, because we should also talk about this is also an asset creation tool. It's also a music creation tool. Mm-hmm.
It's also an asset curation tool.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible.
Just a platform.
Yeah, it's an engine and like a distribution platform. It's incredible. We saw this one model. We were going through the different game jam themes that have been done so far, and there was one for robots. And then there was this one model that we saw. Like, it was the second place because... And all it was just this one, like, player character you could move around in a tiny, like, square island. And it was this, like, grotesque sort of cyborg, like, mech thing with this weird alien creature with arms sticking out of it in the middle. And it had all of these, like, glowy parts and, like, springs going into pneumatic pistons, going into the legs, going into the claws at the bottom of the feet, going into the... It was this very, very intricate model. And it was all rigged and animated. Well, most of it was rigged and animated. It was incredible.
Yeah. As well as, you know, there was like sounds to go with it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was remarkable. And then there was another one about this lost robot like walking around a lonely planet, and it had all of its own sound effects and this light on its like camera-like head and stuff like that. And then we played another one before that was like, it was sort of like Wind Waker, where you're like floating around different islands and each island had its own little small platforming section and you could ride different boats, and it had like narrative notes left in bottles on the beach. Like, I'm so excited for this game.
We played what, like 15 minutes of it?
Yeah.
And like all of us are
most of that was the intro.
All of us are like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like,
I'm just immediately in awe and in love with this game.
Mm.
Yeah. And this is the early access creators beta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, Jeremy, because you said I'm not going to create anything.
Yeah.
And I think I'm most interested in this game because it looks like one of the most accessible ways to create something, which I'm really interested in personally because, you know, sometimes if I have an idea, as soon as I reach the hurdles of having to actually
open Unity
and then remember C# scripting and remember how terrible I am at 3D modeling, and like, I can't just hash out something that looks half decent in an hour or a day, even. Say if I even give myself a day. Like, I can't make anything look like that. But I like the idea that I could rough something out in Dreams a bit easier, assuming that the creator tools are more intuitive. It's a shame we had to jump in to do this, because it would have been cool to look at the creator tools before, so we could tell you about those as well. But I'm excited to get in on this. It looks wonderful. There are a limited number of keys, So if this is something that you're interested in and you have a PS4
and you have $40
and you have $40, like, and we should say do it that sooner rather than later.
We should say if you buy the early access beta, you get the full game when it releases as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Does the beta go offline at some stage?
Right, who knows?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
They haven't said, but it's not, I don't think it's imminent. I think this is going to be around for months to come yet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an active development scene.
Yeah. Mm. There's a couple things that I wanted to touch on about this specifically. One of it was about Naughty Dog, Media Molecule in particular, where they have famously hired members of their community to do level design for their future games.
Yes, after they had proven themselves in Little Big Planet's creative tools.
Yeah, like they had employed members of the community, and, you know, I'm sure for a lot of people, like, almost honestly, myself included, that Little Big Planet was like their first foray into developing games.
Right.
You know, it was like, you know, you can only really make one specific type of game, which is a side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah, unless you started really messing with it.
Yeah, unless you started getting into like the really heavy-duty stuff, especially in Little Big Planet 3.
People made Trials in that game, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like in Little Big Planet 3, you can make like arcade racing games, which are just like top-down.
Yeah.
And like Tetris.
Whoa! Yeah,
hey, Tetris is good. We know this.
We do know this.
We do know Tetris is good. But yeah, and so, you know, it's... I will bring this up as much as I can at any given moment. It's like Blade Runner to the extent where I'm...
We get it. You like Blade Runner.
I like Blade Runner a lot. But because, like Blade Runner, it inspired a lot of filmmakers to come after Blade Runner. Like the amount of filmmakers that looked at Blade Runner and then were inspired by it to make films in the future.
Yep.
I wonder what dreams will give to, you know, young developers or people who don't know that they actually really like to develop games.
That's so exciting.
Until they check out Dreams and go, oh, wow, I really like this. And then they can, you know, they could make a full game in Dreams.
Mm.
And then if they wanted to, they could go on to, like, you know, like exploring things like, you know, Autodesk Maya and Blender and then stuff like Unity and Unreal, which is becoming more and more accessible as the years go by.
Totally. Like, could you imagine your like portfolio pieces being on Dreams? Just being like, if you're going into an interview being like, this is all, so I don't have like a build that I can send you, but if you have Dreams, you can check out this code. Or here's a trailer I made on my, because the PS4's got a record feature.
Yeah.
So like,
I wonder if like, you'd be able to put this in, I mean, maybe for level design, yeah, but like for like, I guess art or coding and stuff like that.
Mm.
I don't know if you'd be able to use it as a portfolio piece.
Well, not specifically like programming, but like,
yeah, I mean, for like design in general, aside from like level design and stuff like that, or like, would you be able to put your Dreams game in a portfolio for a game design job?
I mean, like, I'm sure they would like accept it as a thing, saying, yeah, like as proof of you're doing work.
It's, would it have as much validity as something that's made in?
I think that'll come down to how much Media Molecule sort of flesh out their exporting or sharing outside of the game tools. Like, you know, they've got that Dreams.me thing or whatever it was,
yeah,
at the very beginning, which is basically
in
like,
Dreams.me, I think.
Yeah, like, I don't remember what the specific URL is, but it's like, it's basically your online or like website presence for your profile in Dreams.
Yeah, so you can browse the Dreamiverse, quote unquote.
I guess what I mean is like, because you aren't coding and you aren't making, I mean, I don't know what, I haven't actually seen how to make assets in this game yet.
You can just sculpt assets. You can just create your own art in that game.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's a bit different. I don't know.
I see what you mean about the code. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, hey, and now you can open up the JavaScript and start tweaking. Like, it's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be node-based. It's going to be very accessible to get into. How deep it goes? Like, the question is how deep they can make their incredibly accessible engine. You know what I mean?
And it'll also be how deep the community realizes they can bend all those boundaries.
Totally.
Because, you know, like, I guarantee this happens every single time. There'll be so many things. You know, this happened with, like, Mario Maker as well.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, the community would find out like intricacies of just the way the engine works to the extent more than, you know, the developers even intended to be used.
Like, people create like calculators in Mario Maker.
Yeah,
like,
it's ridiculous.
It's so clever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it reminds me, like, I feel like it would be closer to, but more, more highly regarded, I believe, like, if that's the word, than, like, what Minecraft would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can jump in and you can make some stuff relatively quickly, but I feel like this is more than that.
Mm.
You know, this has got a whole sharing platform and everything.
Yeah, the people who probably got, who probably put Minecraft in their highlight reel were the people who were actually in the JavaScript creating mods that were, like, incredibly sophisticated and actually required some coding know-how. So, yeah, I think the future for Dreams is bright just from that very first start. And, like, obviously, like, we were ready for the future of Dreams to be bright. Maybe we're biased here, but, well, I'll speak for myself. Maybe I'm biased, but I think this is very promising. I'm excited, at least.
Yeah.
I wish there was something like this, like, when I was growing up.
Because,
I didn't get interested in, like, game design until I was, like, 18.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't play Little Big Planet. I mean, I played Little Big Planet. I didn't play, like, the make your own level Little Big Planet.
Because
I was never interested in it. I don't know. It's like, why would I make my own when there's so many levels that I can play anyway?
Yeah. Well, like, why would I create my own really sloppy Mario knockoff?
Yeah.
All my crap must still be up there.
Probably.
I made some garbage levels.
I'm sure you did, buddy.
I want to go back and play those.
So I feel like even Minecraft wasn't really available when I was in school because I was older. But like, even what Fortnite's doing with like the what is it called?
Well, they've got a creative mode.
I mean, you know, the box or whatever it is where
the
you
make
the block where like, you know, one level is like showcased or one thing is showcased once a week and stuff like that, and you can like fight to have yours in
there.
That's
so incredible.
That's so cool. Like, they're really, really crafting the next generation of game developers. Like,
Halo did that as well. Halo's got a Forge mode.
Forge, as well. That's true. And that hooked into the machinima scene as well, because that was right as Red vs. Blue was taking off. They introduced all of that incredible creator content.
Mm. It's very cool. It's very cool.
I'm excited.
It's nice to have Meaty Mollicle making something that I can play again.
Well, I mean, that's what they've been doing. They've been making this.
I know, but having it,
it's nice to play.
Having it to be in my hands now is a great, great feeling.
Yeah, I'm excited. I might borrow your. Oh no, I probably won't work like that. Borrowing your PlayStation account to download Dreams and play on your account from my console. Although then we get into like primary PlayStation 4 nonsense.
Yeah,
I can't be bothered with that.
Change my PlayStation name without asking. Carrie, why am I dong ass?
You know why.
Surely that's taken already.
Could find out.
Oh, now we have to find out.
You can't, like, you can't be dong ass. Because you can imagine, like, making this beautiful level on Dreams and being this is made by dong ass.
Did you know that if you create a, this is a tangent, and it's the pertinent information to this is that PlayStation now finally allows you to change your name.
Yeah.
Which is news.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's finally happened. The modern feature from
Have you changed your name, Kerry?
No, that's because mine was taken originally.
What is your PlayStation name currently?
Scotch 240.
Right, okay. So it's close to the ones you have.
Yeah, it's a zero on the end.
Right, yeah.
And then my like Hong Kong China account for when I had that version of like Destiny. That's 2400. And then my US one is 24,000.
I'm always disappointed when you don't do Scotch 420. Like, always.
Yeah.
No. I'm not a meme lord.
Kerry's not a weedy.
I just don't understand those things mostly. Yeah. Why is 420 the time?
It's not as bad. Like, mine's Robbie B.
Yeah, I saw that as your thing. I was like, is that the name of all of? Is that what Dreams is calling their imps? Robbie B?
No, it's my dad's name's Robert. And he made the PlayStation account and then started buying shit for me. And then I made Obi-Wan Jez a separate account, but all the purchases were on the other one. So now I can't even fucking change it to Obi-Wan Jez.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, my tangent so I was going to say. I love that you've locked yourself out of your own name.
I'm so upset.
But apparently if you pick a new name and it's like Dong Lord fucker 69 or whatever. It's just like blatantly just against terms of service.
Yeah.
They just temp your name. They just, you get given this name that's like temp name XX01 or something like that.
And well, you gotta pay $10 to change it
and
again.
And they like contact you and say like, you can't use that. Yeah. You have to give us something else.
Idiot. Don't do that. We fucking give you this option and that's what you do?
This is why we waited this long. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very exciting. My old name was like a reference to my dead name. So like being able to change it is very exciting.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Have you done it yet?
Yes, I have done it. What? I'm now Craggy Coast.
Ah, excellent. Mm. Excellent. Coast with Crags.
That's me.
You know what that is?
No.
Oh, it's a Pokemon thing.
It's a level in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Is it your favorite level?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
It has good music though. I mean, they all have good music, but Craggy Coast has good music.
Cool. Should I play those games?
Yeah.
You should play the first two at least. Well, like the one of the first generation, and then
play blue or red
play blue. It's on DS.
Okay.
Play blue and then play Sky.
Blue Sky. You got it.
I can lend them to you.
Who wants to go first into our regularly scheduled what we've been playing section? Not me, because my games are all from 2012.
I'll go.
Unless we want to go in chronological order. Yeah, go on. Yep.
Should I go in alphabetical order? Go.
Numerical order.
Our Game Spoilers game, which is our other podcast affiliated to Minimap. Next month is Wolfenstein 2. So I've been playing Wolfenstein 2.
The New Colossus.
Sorry, I should specify that.
Whatever the fuck that means. I'll find out.
Yeah.
And
it's actually the sequel to Shadow of the Colossus. Why do you think I like it so much?
Can I talk?
Sure.
I disliked the first one on first playthrough. I'm not going to talk too much about it because I have thoughts that I will talk about on the actual podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But in the time between playing Wolfenstein 1 and Wolfenstein New Order and Wolfenstein New Colossus, I think I have warmed up to Wolfenstein and have almost missed Wolfenstein.
Right.
To the point where when I started playing Wolfenstein The New Colossus, I was like, fuck.
You gotta go back.
This is fucking ridiculous. This is so over the top, stupid,
yep.
But so fun.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know how much, I don't know. But like, it's just Wolfenstein, apart from like how unnecessarily gruesome it is.
Oh yeah,
like unnecessary. Like, not even that. Like,
it's gratuitous, right?
It's so gratuitous, and like, it really paints the Nazis in a bad light.
I like how that's what paints them in a bad light.
I mean, like, they don't even try to make them people. Like, I mean, there's a lot of like letters you can find about just like Nazis that were under the service of the big bad Nazis that were like talking about their children and their family and stuff, but like the colonels and stuff, like whatever they call them, like there's no sliver of humanity in them.
They are just monsters.
And like it just sort of reminded me that like from the fucking get go. Like Kerry, can I just say one thing? It's like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, of the game. Yeah, sure. I thought you were commenting on my sneeze.
Oh, no.
You sneeze like a Nazi.
I'm trying to keep it political. I'm sorry I sneezed. Apolitical.
So, like, the very first fucking scene.
Right.
You're on this submarine. And you are in a wheelchair. And the Nazis are coming. And you are just rolling through the submarine in a wheelchair shooting Nazis in a fucking, like, robe, like a hospital gown. Yeah. And, like, to get anywhere, like, you have to, like, roll onto gears and then roll over. And, like, while you're on top of the gears is the fucking submarine, you're, like, shooting from, like, up the top. And just, like, can you imagine dying like that? Can you imagine looking up and there's a guy in a hospital gown in a wheelchair with a fucking machine gun?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's excellent, isn't it?
That's Wolfenstein. And that's what I missed about it.
Remember when you go to the moon in the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that anyway, I'm very excited to play more.
I'll talk about the moon in a moment.
It's very
Jeremy's moon moment.
I'm very surprised at how much I'm enjoying it.
Mm.
I'm glad you're surprised. That's good.
Mm.
What else?
I have bad things to say also, but I'm not going to say them right now.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
I've also been playing Ace Attorney, which came out on the Switch last week.
So that's the remastered trilogy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hadn't played Ace Attorney before, even though I really wanted to, because I feel like it's very up my alley, because I really like Danganronpa, and that's also like kind of murder mystery.
Right, right.
Almost visual novel, but not really.
As someone who has only ever heard the name and heard people talk about Ace Attorney, but mm-hmm. hasn't ever seen Ace Attorney, mm-hmm. what's the rundown?
Anime lawyers.
Okay.
The game.
I accuse.
So what? It's like a detective game?
No, it's a lawyer game. But also a detective game.
So you find paperwork.
No. No. you find clues
so a detective on a scene. Game.
I guess it's a detective game plus... It's a detective game cross lawyer court simulator game. But very okay. over the top and very not what court is like at all, but also kind of like what court is like.
Oh.
So like, I tweeted this as well. It's like, when I finished binge watching Making a Murderer, I was like, fuck, being a lawyer would be so cool. Like, right. that's just like so cool. I don't know why, because I'm definitely not smart enough to be a lawyer or like self-motivated enough to be a lawyer. But like, playing Ace Attorney is like, satisfying everything in me that wants to be a lawyer.
Yeah, like, cool. The ultimate lawyer fantasy.
Yeah, really. But it's also extremely over the top and like yeah. it doesn't not make sense in terms of like real life. And the characters are very exuberant, I guess.
Right.
But that's sort of what all those sort of games are like. You know, the characters are characters, like very characterized characters, I suppose.
Right.
So yeah, I've just met Edgeworth and I love him. And I will get back to you on what I think of the first game because okay. I have not finished it yet.
Do you know how much have you?
Maybe like 4 hours.
Okay.
So I don't think I'm halfway.
Yeah, who knows? I don't. Do you?
No clue.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out maybe in a fortnight.
Cool. Mm. I'm excited to hear about that. I'm glad one of us is starting to have played this heavily spoken about series.
Exactly. Like, I knew that it would be a game that I would like, yeah. because I like similar games, so, yes.
Great. Well, I might jump on in here then.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, last time we were talking about this, I was talking about how I'd been watching people play Dark Souls co-op, and how I think that it'd be cool to play with you guys, and then June was like, N-O.
Like, capital N-O.
Full stop.
I think I was in the rights to say that.
Oh, you were within your rights to. Thank you. No, it's just...
Who would want to play Dark Souls?
So I've been playing Dark Souls. and it's interesting because I downloaded... I bought the original Dark Souls when it came to PC, which, by the way, is just a rubbish port. Don't buy the... Oh, you can't anymore because they remastered it.
Yeah.
Never mind. But I've got the first port that they took to PC, the Prepare to Die edition. It's awful. It's the worst port I've ever seen in my life. But I've got... There's mod fix and I got around that, so that's neither here nor there. I bought this game like 6-7 years ago and I was going to play it co-op with a friend of mine. I was like, hey, I'll buy this if you buy it too. We bought it on sale. And then that particular friend of mine stopped playing games with me and never spoke to me ever again. Coupled with how bad the port was and that I was going to be playing with someone and now I was playing it alone, I never really got in that far through it.
I'll be streaming it sometime last year.
It was last year. It was after I played some Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Because that was free on PS Plus.
Yeah, and you're streaming Bloodborne.
Yeah, and I got to the point with Bloodborne where it clicked.
Yeah.
It made sense. I got through an area enough times, I forced my way through this area and I learned and I got better and I understood. And it was it all suddenly made sense. So coming back to Dark Souls after also having watched a playthrough of it makes it all way more accessible because I understand a bit more how it actually works from a gameplay perspective. But it meant that I could also get through the parts that were very, very difficult that weren't fun to keep brute forcing my way through. So yeah, it's been good because, like, on the one hand, I feel like I robbed myself of playing this game, you know, blind, like everyone did 6 years ago, and was like, oh my god, and the level folds in on itself, and did you beat this boss, and there's like a secret area over here, and oh my god, this, and oh my god, that. Like, I don't get to have any of that. Because
wait, sorry, Bloodborne or Dark Souls?
Dark Souls.
6 years ago.
It came out like 2012.
Dark Souls?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Demon's Souls came out in 2009.
Fucking hell. I feel like those games are so much older than they are.
No.
Wow. All
they're,
right.
they're like mid last gen.
Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
Dark Souls 3 came straight to
PS4 and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I thought there was more time in between those games.
No.
Yeah, okay.
They pumped them out. Once Dark Souls got cranking, it got cranking.
All right. Wild.
Yeah.
Continue.
What was I saying? Because I've seen like a playthrough of it, I think it is simultaneously the only way that I would have gotten through this game otherwise. Because there are parts that I've gotten to, I'm like, this sucks. Specifically, Sense Fortress is no fun because it's just like swinging axe blades and it's just difficult and you just fuck up every time. And it's not something you can, I mean, you can get better at, but like it takes like 20 minutes to get anywhere and then you just get fucked. It's no fun. So anyway, it's like, I've been playing through it. I'm enjoying it. I sort of understand. I've been like watching lore videos and I've been like,
right, like, oh, you,
just a little bit, just a little bit. Like, I'm not getting too deep. I'm just like,
you're sticking your toes in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like peering under the curtain a little bit. I'm like behind the curtain. That's right. Not under it. Mm.
I mean, you could, if you're a perv.
What?
just keep going.
Yeah, so just taking a just having a look, just being like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That makes sense. Finally.
Do you feel like you have to watch videos to get some of the lore?
Yes. Yes. I am not smart enough to be bothered enough to piece, like, dot the dots together that are very far away and unnumbered.
Is it a smart enough thing, or is it like...
No, it's not, but like...
Do you think that's a failure of the game design?
No, because I know it's intentional.
Hmm.
I know they've done it on purpose. And it's like, oh, if you do read this item description and you do piece together this bit and that bit from over there and that bit and that bit, it does make sense. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a cool facet of this that I know that now. But...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It does mean that it, like, it's difficult for people who struggle at the gameplay to let the story pull them through because the story's so obscure. It's not about the story. The gameplay is the key element of this. So if that doesn't work for you, then, like, kind of get fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the amount of Dark Souls 3 I played, I don't know any of the story. I couldn't tell you a single thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Kerry plays old game from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Kerry also plays another game from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is Lego Lord of the Rings.
Right. Great game.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's the first Lego game that I've played that wasn't Lego Star Wars. Like, so like the first two.
Oh, really?
Lego games, yeah.
You haven't played any of them in between?
Not really, no.
Right, okay. I mean, Lego Lord of the Rings isn't that... I mean...
It's not that recent, but it's recent enough that they use actual voice acting from the movie in this one, which I think actually adds a lot, because Star Wars, that one was the one where they didn't have any voice acting. It's just them, like, slapstick walking around and being like, and the Jew would go like,
how's it going?
Come on, that was so half-hearted.
Yeah, I got embarrassed. But the voice acting actually adds a lot. They've got this dynamic split screen thing happening, and they've got like an open world map and like quests and stuff and like an inventory system, and you can aim things. Yeah. Like,
it's a bit.
It's actually just way more fun, even although that first Lego Star Wars game is quite special.
I've literally only heard good things about Lego games.
Yeah, they're great.
Only ever heard good things.
Yeah.
I could tell you some bad things about them if you want, but like...
No, don't ruin it for
okay.
me.
Okay.
It's interesting because I felt like, oh, you know, I play the Lego Star Wars games, I've played Lego games. I get it. And in some ways, that's true. Is it just smack all objects in the room so you get studs and try and get as many as you can so you fill up the meter at the top and find secrets and go back through later once you've unlocked other characters and blah and blah and blah. But I think what I really like is that it's just... it's all put together in a way that's just fun to walk around and do that. Like, I don't know, it's interesting. And there are noticeable improvements between each game, I feel like, that are slightly less discernible when you're going from the next one to the next one to the next one to the next one.
Yeah.
But when you jump a few years, it's like, oh, wow, they've actually been working on this. It's actually better. It actually feels better.
Would you play, like, what was the most recent one? Lego Incredibles or something like that? Like, would you actively
I'd consider it more now, yeah. Because every time I see that, I'm like, oh, they're making that. I didn't know that they didn't already make that. Okay. And then I don't care. And then that's done. Mm. That's out of my mind. But now I'm thinking, like, playing this, I'm like, I'd be interested in going back and playing Lego Avengers, like, just for myself.
Mm.
And
Lego Marvel Superheroes is so good. Yep. Like, no kidding, it's one of the best ones they made.
Number two, have you done number two?
I've played some of number two.
That came out last year or the year before?
Last year
was DC Supervillains.
Lego Superheroes 2 came out last year as well.
They do them like every 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like, that one's... It's a bit different.
How so?
In the sense it's just not the first one. The first one sort of nailed a lot of things off the get-go, and the second one, you know, it's hard to recapture the magic that you get from doing it right the first time.
Yep.
But yeah, Lego Marvel Superheroes, very good.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely interested in playing more of them and seeing how they play with things. Because, like, I've seen footage every now and then. It's like, oh, you can fly in this one as Iron Man. Mm-hmm. That's not Lego. That's cool. Like, that's sweet. Oh, it's open world. All right. Oh, you've got, like, 35 billion studs. Like, things change and evolve and develop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting to see, I guess, get my own perspectives on these couple of games. Yeah.
How good is it having... So, I'm firmly in the camp that the Lego games are the best adaptations of movies in game form.
Adaptations. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's probably because they have the scope to just do it note for note.
Yeah. But, like, I think one of the biggest things about these is they use the original score.
Yeah.
And they use it in the same ways that the movies do to make you kind of feel like you're in the movie, even though everything is Lego. Well, like, to give you the same emotions that you're feeling while you're in the movies.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously not like the dire and sad parts, because they don't capture that. Like, how far are you in the Lego Lord of the Rings? Because there's one bit I want to talk about, but I won't spoil the joke.
The Fellowship just got together.
Oh, it's just after that. Damn it. It's a very funny take on what is a sad scene in the first movie.
Right.
Is it
Gandalf?
No, it's Boromir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's like another half of the movie.
It's not that far.
I've got to get through Moria first, and then
that's it.
Through the
then it happens right after.
No, then there's the other forest.
There's a Moria then forest.
And then there's Boromir. Then there's the next forest.
No, there's Rivendell, then there's Moria.
And then there's the next elf forest where they meet Cate Blanchett.
Not Rivendell. Sorry, I meant that one. Yeah. No, you're right.
I know.
Yeah. I haven't seen those movies in a long time. They're very good.
I've seen them recently.
Right. Yeah, the Boromir scene is very good.
I mean, that scene's great anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's a funny moment in the start where they're like, the nine kings, like, all got the rings or whatever, and one of them... It's just like they just drop it or something and they have to pick it up or something. It's like, that's funny. That's good. Like, because we're just listening to Cate Blanchett talk. And it's like, yeah, good. Make it funny.
Don't play the Hobbit ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, like, you know how, like, every character's got, like, a class type, like, archetype.
Yeah.
And they all have different abilities. So, there are...
I think you've mentioned this before. Like, all the dwarves have different abilities, but, like, you can't tell what any of them are because they're all just dwarves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not great.
Cool. That's my shtick. I'm not particularly up to date at the moment. 2 weeks from now, I will be very up to date on Hades, because I'm grinding on that.
Maybe I'll play Hades with you then, because I've been meaning to for ages. So.
Yeah. Unofficial game club.
Sure.
Game club for fun.
Yeah. I've been playing.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein 1.
Yeah.
The New Order.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yes.
For the second time, yeah?
Sort of for the second and a half time.
Mm.
So when I first got it, I got it when... So I got Wolfenstein basically for no reason when they came out.
For no reason.
Which is weird, because back then I didn't
have any... That sounds
like you. Well, no, because back then I didn't have any money or a job.
Yeah.
Like, there was okay. Like, I had no money coming in. I think I just had... That's right. I had, like, a lot of games. And so I just traded them all in.
Right.
For Wolfenstein. Based on, like, one video. I'm thinking... Of everyone saying, this is a lot better than everyone was expecting.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. And then I got halfway through. And then I sort of slowed down. So I got to the level just before you go to the moon.
Oh.
Which is what would have, like, grabbed
kept you in
me.
It. Yeah, yeah.
It would have grabbed me. So I finished level just before you go to the moon. But then my save, like, got lost or corrupted on the PS4.
That's always heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And so I was like...
Because there's nothing you can do once that happens.
Yeah, nothing I can do. Like, there was no record of me even having... Like, all my collectibles were gone. It was like a fresh start. And I was like, oh. Alright, so I just sort of put it away. And then... E3 2017 comes around. 2016?
Oh, it came out in 2017. It was a tease in 2016. It was a tease, but they didn't show it. And right. Then
2017 was the big one where they showed a lot of it.
Yeah, and it released later that year.
Yeah, so I remember seeing the tease for that going like, oh yeah, and it was after Doom came out.
Yep.
And so everyone was pretty hyped on what was sort of happening with, like, all those old properties.
First-person shooters coming out of
Bethesda.
Because yeah. Prey came out that year, too.
And Quake did as well.
Yep.
And then Wolfenstein 2 comes along, and it's got this big, bombastic marketing campaign of, quote, get the Nazis the fuck out of America.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I should go back and finish Wolfenstein 1.
Mm.
So, I bought it on Steam, and I played through it, and I went, yeah, I really like this. And then I went directly into Wolfenstein 2.
Mm.
And, yeah, like, I like Wolfenstein 2 a lot. I've spoken about it on the podcast before, and we'll also speak about it on Game Spoilers for next month. So, yeah, this is the first time I've gone... So, you know, apparently, I'm deciding to do the exact same thing again, where I'm going to play Wolfenstein 1, then I'm going to play Wolfenstein 2. But Wolfenstein 1, I think... has a lot more nuance than I initially remembered, or I didn't notice a lot of the nuance that it sort of brings you along this story, but it's not you, it's like, it's specifically BJ Blazkowicz. And BJ's character is not dissimilar to Captain America in the sense that he's very just like, all American, just wants to stop the Nazis.
Right.
He just wants to stop them. But he's not like, you know, he's a Nazi killing machine, but there's never a moment of him, like, you know, laughing as he's doing it. Or, yeah. Like, he doesn't get pleasure out of it. That's just what he feels like he has to do.
Yep.
Which I think is very interesting, especially in scenes where, you know, like, there's the slower scenes with the love interest character. I've forgotten her name.
Anya.
Yeah.
Anyang.
What's Anyang?
Oh. Do you know Anyang?
No.
No, it rings a bell, but I'm not placing it.
Oh my god, you don't get that one for free. You got to remember that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But like the scenes, like especially like on the train. So at the beginning, close to the beginning of Wolfenstein, there's a scene on the train where you're going into Berlin with Anya, and there's this.
Oh, they fuck.
Yeah, like, they fuck.
They fuck a lot in this first
I have,
game.
I have issues with that scene.
Right, okay.
That if you read my article, you would have...
Right. The part I'm actually talking about is the part just before with Fur Angle.
Yeah,
And Booby.
Yeah.
Booby. Booby.
That scene was very good.
Yeah, like, yeah. That scene of just, like, it's just tense, and it's Fur Angle who's, like, this Nazi ultra terrible person. Like, she's just
terrifying. Like,
yeah, like
one of the most terrifying bad guys in a video game.
Yeah, like I think I mentioned that, like, I think she was the best villain in a game I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think we looked up a list and then it was the first
that, that was my that was a June's question corner from a couple
weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And like I'd forgotten how tense the scene is because I forgot how it ended. So I was sort of experiencing that scene for the first time again, and it's just this moment of, like, you know, you don't really, like, BJ does not speak German, and this German high commander has got you to sit down, and she's playing like this Rorschach type test with like pictures, and she's asking you to choose, and she's put her gun on the counter as well, which you can also just grab.
Mm.
And like you go like three or four questions in, and she's like, "Oh, interesting. Like, that's sort of that's an interesting choice." Sort of trying to test if you're like a pure Aryan or not.
Yeah.
And when you're about to choose, what's the final question? She like grabs your arm before you can choose, and then like, and they both like sort of get really close to you, and they start laughing, and then they just throw the cards at you, saying like, "Oh, these are just postcards I found in the cart."
Right.
You're like, you know, like you're obviously an Aryan.
Right.
Which is hilarious, especially because there's that like superiority complex of them going, "Oh, he's obviously of Aryan race, you know, look at him,
yeah,
strong jawline, pure German, this guy, and if you heard him speak, you know,
yeah,
he's the most fucking American guy."
Yeah.
which, you know, was sort of what they were like. They were very like
surface level.
Well, like it was more than surface level. They were so convinced they were right.
Right.
Which is why they got so fucked up. And, you know, like, 2014, when I played it for the first time when it came out, I think it was 2014, you know, there was not as much of a talk about fascism in real world, you know.
Right.
Charlottesville riots was, like, incomprehensible back then. And, you know, and then flash forward to 2017... there are literally Nazis walking down Charlottesville.
Right.
Which was fucked. Like, that was obscene. And so, having this game, which is so, like, purely about, like understanding fascism, especially at the very beginning of this game, like, it does a lot to sort of... you know, like, so, like, when BJ wakes up and he's like, "How could America lose?" And they go into that a lot in Wolfenstein 2 about how America could have become under a fascist law.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, where the game, both of these games really, really, really shine. And it was super interesting going back and seeing them place those seeds and, like, noticing a lot of the nuance from the second game after playing the... noticing the nuance in the first game after playing the second one.
Right.
Like, they totally knew what they were doing. More than, like, I honestly give him credit for at the beginning.
Mm.
So it's super interesting to going back to that stuff.
Right, cool.
And I also just love, like, a lot of the transitions in between scenes, I think, are, like, gorgeous. Like, there's, like, after BJ and Anya have sex, there's a...
Which part, time?
The first time on the train.
So many times.
Like, the first time on the train, and, like, and she gets up, and she's, like, you know, half-dressed, and she's like, "Oh, we're getting close, we have to go," and she, like, walks across the room, and as she walks across the room, the scene dramatically changes into them in the middle of Berlin, and her opening the blinds.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, I don't quite remember what the transition scenes were like in the first one, but I'm finding them incredibly jarring in the second one. They're not good.
They're not as great in the second.
They're not good at all. Like, I have, like, a moment, like, the audio is quieter in cutscenes than it is in the game. And, like,
right,
I'm finding, like, very, 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 very sudden. Like,
right. I don't remember any audio stuff when I played it. Mm. I had issues with the gameplay.
Yeah.
Which you'll get to as you get later in the game.
Yeah.
I did notice stuff that, like, a lot of the music felt more drowned out in 2, which is a shame, because the music
is fucking... I mean, we probably shouldn't talk about this in detail, because we're going to talk about
I'm mostly talking about it in the context of 1.
Okay.
Where in the context of 1, the music is prevalent and mixed way better.
Okay.
Because the music in 1 is very good, and you don't really realize how good it is until you, like... If you listen to the soundtracks for these games outside of their games, they're actually very good. And they're made by the composer who did the new Doom as well, which I didn't know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like you can really feel it in the second one. Like, it feels very doomy in the second one, more than it did in the first one.
They do go hard on that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially at the end. Wolfenstein, New Colossus. I'm enjoying it leading up to playing 2.
Got 2 weeks, buddy.
I'm gonna have to hurry up.
Yeah. they aren't short games. Oh, I'm gonna have to hurry up, actually.
They're not short. And the other game we've been playing is Baba Is You.
Baba is Jeremy.
Baba is me.
Baba is Wall.
No, Carrie is Wall.
Carrie is Wall.
Yeah.
June is
Death.
I was gonna say June is Flower.
No, June is Defeat.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you want to be Star?
I want to be June.
June is flag.
June is flag.
What the fuck?
You can be blank, and then you can decide later if you like.
Kerry is melt.
Oh, no.
So...
What the fuck?
I've watched a half-hour video of this game.
So, Bubba Is You is one of the most interesting games I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
It is a top-down, push-box-type game. It's not a platformer. It's just a puzzle game. Where the beginning of each game, you have a bunch of rules, which are objects you can push around.
Mm.
So, there are rules where Bubba is you. So, Bubba is a character, and it's basically like... programming style rules.
Totally.
It's conditions.
Yeah.
It is Bubba is you, which means that you can control Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
If you push the you away from Bubba is you, you will stop controlling Bubba and then you will fail the level.
Yeah, because you can't move.
Yeah. Flag is goal, which means you have to get to the flag. Flag is win.
Yes.
You know, stuff like spike is defeat.
Mm.
You know, lava is melt.
Wall is stop.
Water is sink.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And so... you can change all of those conditions around just by pushing them around the actual level to fix the level. So you can make wall is goal. And so if you walk into the wall, you win because you hit the goal.
That's so fucking clever. I was just looking at like a little like gif of it before. It's like I remember seeing this on the store and being like, this is fucking ugly.
It is delightful. It is so incredibly
cute. That's so clever.
This is the type of game that I look at and I'm like, this game looks so clever and like it would make me feel like it's the kind of game that when I was playing it, I would feel so dumb.
I feel like the stupidest genius while playing this game because I get stuck for such a long time and then I'm like, you moron, just do this! Yep. And then it works.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, it's not like a lot of the puzzles are like slowly figuring out, but like a lot of them are just like, oh, you just look at it long enough until all of a sudden it just works.
Mm.
And yeah, it's like, I'm not going to spoil too many of the puzzles because like a lot of the puzzles, like a lot of the spoilers in this game are like the things you don't even think about.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You get a quarter of the way and then you're like, oh, I can change everything.
Yep.
And then you get halfway again and you're like, oh no, I can actually change everything. And apparently there's like another one of those after what I'm up to.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, how? But then when it happens, you're like, oh my God, it's so good.
Do they introduce new like tiles and things for you to interact with? Or is it like teaching you a new way to interact with the old blocks?
Less this ladder, like... Right. A little bit of the latter, but not as much, because a lot of the...
So it's not like you can go back to the old levels with your newfound knowledge and break the shit out of them.
Not as much, because a lot of the new stuff is, like, changing the middle statement. So they introduce, like... They introduce and, for example.
Oh.
So, you know, like, Bubba is you and Rock. And so you are then controlling both Bubba and the Rocks at the same time, for example. So, yeah, it does a lot of the things where, like, it'll turn the game upside down... by introducing new mechanics.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just a delight.
This is one of those games where it's like, video games are fucking cool.
Yeah, it is definitely one of those like, oh, puzzle games are really smart.
Yeah.
So clever.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're just about ready for June's question corner and I still don't have my answer yet. But we're just going to go to a quick break before we do that. So... Get your questions and your corners ready.
Wait, we should say what the question is again.
The question was, if you didn't listen to last episode, the question again is, if you had to recommend a game to someone that gives a like an accurate representation of who you are, what would that game be?
Yep. Cool.
Oh dear.
So ponder that one over the break, Kerry.
Yep, over the break, which we totally
the 2 week break, Kerry.
And listener, while you're listening to the break, which is going to be a lot shorter than our break because that's how breaks work, why don't you decide what game would represent you if you were to show it to someone else?
Hard question, man. All right,
we'll be right back.
All right, do your fucking impression voice and get it over. Come on. You know it's in you. I can feel it.
Yeah, but now I'm doing that thing where it's like someone told me to do something, so now I don't want to do it.
Do you want me to do it?
No. I don't want you to do it, June, because I'm not actually impersonating anyone. I'm just doing a version of what I think that should say. Welcome back to the... Minimap cast.
I want to go back to watching that video.
What video?
The one I just watched.
Oh, no, don't do that. It was awful. So, here we are, after the break. I mean, here we are, after the break.
You've already done it. You can't do it twice. With
June's question.
You can't do it twice.
June laughed and it broke me out of it, but I'm going back.
That's three times now.
To introduce June's question corner. June.
Take it away.
Take it away. I'm just mind flooded with trying to think of an answer for this question.
I shouldn't have shown you that video.
No, you shouldn't have.
Okay. Shall I do my answer first then?
Sure. So just for the viewers at home, what's the question?
The
for
question
this?
Again, even though it's been 10 seconds since I last listened.
Hey, you know, it's important.
It was a long intro.
Also, I forgot the exact wording.
If you had to recommend a game that sums you, wait, that, what did I say it was? That if
accurately,
that
represents.
Accurately represents you as a person, like if you had to recommend a game that's that
represented
you. How did I word it before?
If you
like at the
told
start,
someone to play a game that represents you, what would it be?
That's not it.
If you were to recommend to someone to play a game that shows
describe
to them,
you as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Whatever.
What would it be?
This is a good. Okay. For me, I think like the first one to come into my mind would be Firewatch.
Mm-hmm. What about Firewatch's themes?
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I saw your eyes go from like Firewatch to I don't have anything to say.
I don't know. It was just the first thing that jumped in, and I don't think I have a another answer. Like I think when I first played that game, it hit me really hard, even though the themes weren't relatable to me. Mm. Something about it. I think like that exact type of game is exactly what I'm into. Like walking sim, I guess, with like beautiful art, beautiful soundtrack, et cetera, et cetera.
Storytelling.
Like, storytelling. Like, I don't know.
Is it the actual story? Is it the actual visuals? Is it the setting?
The thing is, the story was okay.
Yeah.
The story was fine. It was fine. Like, I didn't like the ending, but it was okay. But that's not why I like that game.
Mm. And it's also not the part that you feel represents.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
Was it the
fire?
Was it the watch? Was it the ice? isolationary aspect of the story?
Maybe. Although I wouldn't say I'm an isolated person.
I wouldn't say that either, but
I'm not introverted. I'm definitely extroverted. Like, right. I'm not.
Hmm.
But
lonely.
I'm just going back through Firewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was part of it maybe the idea of communication with out?
This is psychoanalyzing.
I know. I'm just trying to actually remember the game.
Yeah.
You don't meet her at the end, do you?
No.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Delilah.
What was his name? Henry.
No.
Yes.
Fuckboy.
Yes. Henry.
He's not a fuckboy. He's a sweet, beautiful man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong
game.
You take lovely self. What are you thinking of?
I don't know. Just ignore me.
What game do you think we were talking
ignore
about?
Ignore me!
I want to know what game you thought we were talking about this whole time.
No, I don't want to know what Firewatch.
Game. I want to know what game you thought June brought up, and you go, oh, yeah.
I didn't know his name, and it was the first thing that came to my head.
Fuckboy.
Yeah.
All right.
I said I'm mind flooded.
I think I played that game at a certain part of my life where it was more relevant to me.
Okay.
And maybe that's changed now, but I don't have anything else.
you should go
that's
back.
That's fine. Like, vague impressions, I think, is okay.
Yeah.
You should go back and replay it then.
I have played it not maybe 2017, I think, the last time I played it. Yeah. I bought it on Switch. I just haven't played it yet.
Right, okay.
I will get back to it one day. Hmm. It is one of my favorite games. So.
Mm, yeah,
that game is
good.
I really like it. The art style in that game is
fucking
incredible.
Yeah. Beautiful. 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 Or Life is Strange.
Suddenly another one.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that. We all know. We know why.
Carrie.
I think, yeah. Yep. Okay.
Prepare to rip off the Band-Aid?
It's more like curiously look under the Band-Aid.
Ew!
I know!
Let's take a peek.
I'm purposefully, like, not purposefully, oh, I'm perplexed by myself. So, I, like, first answer I came up with when before we started the podcast was Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the break, or, like, when someone said, when I was reminded about this question corner when we were doing that first segment just then, I was like, oh, shit, I still need to be thinking about that. And then I thought of a Zelda, but that doesn't seem right, because I'm...
You are a Zelda boy, though.
I am. I very much am. Mm. That is
green
correct.
Green and everything.
Mm.
What?
You look like a Zelda boy right now, for yeah. some reason.
Yeah, no, it's the
it's
green.
The green.
It's the green? Okay.
It's the green.
I do like green. It's my favorite color. And I love
it's
Zelda.
It's Link's favorite color, too.
I know! Except not in the next one. Not in the latest one.
Yeah, it's not a very good one, though.
Have you ever said that to your girlfriend?
No.
I would pay to say that.
No, I haven't.
So, I'm wary of saying those because those are games that I like to play, that I love to play, and I'm wary to pick just something that I've enjoyed playing because I don't necessarily think that that is a representation of me. That being said, I think I am going to... Because I don't... I kind of want to go on like the... You know, just whatever's on the top, that's probably something there to yeah. it like that.
Yep.
And so if I had to pick Celeste and if I had to pick a reason why it was that, I think for me, the core of that game isn't the platforming. Although I really do like the challenge and the ability to get all the different parts and like kind of 100% that game a bit. But I think the heart of that game for me is the story and the representation of Madeline, the character who's this very anxious person who's trying to do this big task and is very cordial and polite and friendly to all of these NPCs that she talks to, and then she's full of all this doubt like inside her when she's on her own. And I feel that a lot of the times when I'm on my own too, there's a lot of time where I'm struggling with, and I mean, who doesn't? But a lot of times where I'm struggling to reconcile, you know, how I'm living my life or, you know, big existential questions that I get far too involved in too often. And so I can relate to that a bit. So I wonder if that's why I want to say that particular part.
Mm.
Okay.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Mm, mm.
If you had
Thank
to
God.
Pick, if you had to pick a Zelda game, which one? Just out of my own curiosity.
I mean, I want to say...
Not your favorite, the one that represents you the most.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Majora's Mask because the moon crashes into the town.
Just like real life.
I'm kidding.
All the time.
No,
I look up in the night sky and I see your terrifying face looking down at me.
Arrgh! 9 days, Jeremy. I kind of want to say Breath of the Wild because you're given imminent tasks to do and then you can fuck off and do everything else instead.
Yeah.
That's my first response.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Those are my answers.
Mine.
Shadow of the Colossus.
No. Close. Last Guardian.
New Ooh. Colossus. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Jeremy's a cat dog.
Yeah. That's bird. Me.
What's your joke?
I'm so glad you reminded me. Because it also took me 13 years to come out. There we go.
Oh my god. Wow.
Very Only 13? Wow.
Very good.
Ooh, I've been saving that one all podcast.
Oh, that's meaty. I like that.
I can take that one off the list now. Yes, so Last Guardian is a very, very special game to me. Because it's one by made by the team that made my favorite game of all time, being Shadow of the Colossus.
Yar.
But Last Guardian is a more... It's a very, very personal story between a young boy and the little... Well, the little...
Gigantic.
Little.
The gigantic cat, bird, dog thing that is Trico. And a lot of it's just about, like, building up the relationship between those two and having those, like, little moments. And also them just like having that journey together, which like the entire time I was playing it, I was like, hey, that little boy's me. not even for any particular part in my life or any particular reason, but for some reason that boy was just like me that whole time.
That's cool.
And
that's so sweet.
It was great. Like Last Guardian.
I believe you kin the Last Guardian.
Yeah. No, I know, straight up.
No doubles.
Yeah. I don't know what the last part means, but yeah.
y'all understand.
I have no idea. yeah, no, it's like there's this theme throughout the entirety of that game, which is just for both of them to overcome whatever gets thrown at them. Or rather, it's not even what gets thrown at them, because they're not like defending. It's about what they have to overcome to get to the end.
Right.
And yeah, like that game just totally, totally resonated with me on like a level that I was hoping it would when going into it, but I wasn't expecting it to, because like I remember reading reviews when that game was coming out and I was like, oh no, maybe this game isn't going to be as good as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it was totally almost exactly what I wanted it to be.
Right. Please play that game if you haven't.
I need to. I haven't yet.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah. Like
I haven't properly played a Team Ico game.
It honestly, for me, it is better. It's better than Shadow of the Colossus. And I played the PS4 like remastered Shadow of the Colossus. It's more emotional than Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, like there's more of a story in that one, and it's a more modern game than Shadow of the Colossus. Like it's not exactly a modern game, because it feels like a game that's been in development for such a long time.
Yeah.
Like it's still got some of those old hang-ups, but like
parts of it still feel like a launch PS3 game.
Maybe more than that. Like okay. it feels like a game that could have come out around Uncharted 2. In terms of the way things are designed and the way like you have to approach certain things.
Yep.
It's a bit like finicky with its mechanics sometimes as well.
Yeah, you have to work with it, but I think that also feeds back into the game of like you have to work with the animal.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a game which made me feel like the animal in that game was actually having its own thoughts and feelings.
Right.
Like Trico did.
Yep.
So yeah. The Last Guardian.
Cool. That was a humdinger, June. What a ripper.
Do you want to know next Fortnite's question so you can think about it?
currently anxious about it.
Next time's Fortnite question of the podcast.
Fortnite. Oh, God. Who do you play? No.
Which pop vinyl?
if you had to buy a pop Fortnite pop vinyl, which one would you buy? No.
It's always the one that's out of stock.
Always the one that's out of stock.
Drum roll. You don't actually have to do it. It's okay.
Hang on.
No, you stopped the recording. I'm kidding.
How rude.
What is something that you have learnt from a game that you've been able to apply in real life?
Oh.
This is not my answer, but I remember hearing that some people found better ways of getting to work in Los Angeles by playing GTA 5.
No, that's funny.
Yeah.
Me playing Mini Metro made me realize that I love Melbourne's train system and I couldn't understand any other one because that gets too hard. Sorry, and my brain melts.
You said Mini Metro and I thought you meant Metro Last Light.
Obviously, I meant Metro Exodus. Come on.
Right.
I'll let you all think about that for 2 weeks and we'll get back to it.
And I'll actually think about it over the next 2 weeks.
Yes, because it's a big one, you might have to.
Oh, it is a big one. What was it?
I'll copy and paste it.
Thanks.
Alright, let's move on. Oh. We're getting derailed here.
These are disarming questions, June. You're stepping up your game. Well done.
The next one, I don't have any more. There's nothing like...
Is that it?
It's like... Who's your favorite character?
What's your
Halo
second favorite game? Cool. All
if
right.
you had to pick another game which represents you as a person.
all right. Well, we're gonna hard pivot from the question corner into the news segment. Not too much has happened in the last couple of weeks.
Not really.
I feel like no real like.
I mean, the stars were at war.
The stars were at war.
They are still at war.
Yeah, apparently.
Now that
a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Now they're owned by a mouse. They will literally always be at war.
Didn't you hear them say earlier this week that they'll probably take a break from Star Wars movies after Episode 9?
Movies, because they're pivoting hard into TV shows.
Ah.
There will always be stars at war under Mouse.
Under Mouse.
Yeah.
It's like we're trying to get around like a censorship filter or something. Yeah, we're not say Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about that one first? Seeing as we brought it up.
Sorry, I let it go.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
I just want to put it out there. I think I've already put it out there. I have not seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
So if I zone out,
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine.
There's not a whole lot to unpack here.
No, not really. So they announced... No, they already announced this. There was a reveal trailer. No, it wasn't a reveal. There was our first story trailer, the first trailer for the new Star Wars game by Respawn, the people who made Titanfall and Apex Legends, a game called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
It's the most Star Wars fucking name ever.
I don't think it has any punctuation in it, though.
No, it's just Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah.
Lots of words.
No, there's a semicolon after the word Jedi.
A semicolon or a colon?
Colon.
Good, because a semicolon would be weird.
Yeah, sorry, it's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Star Wars Jedi.
Well, it's Star Wars Jedi and there's no punctuation in between wars and Jedi. But there is after... Yeah, then there's a colon and then Fallen Order.
Oh.
But I have a feeling there's probably a page break in between.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I reckon. It is in the logo at least. So basically, it's the first trailer. It's a single player game.
First time since EA have got their fucking contract of Star Wars in 2013.
Yeah.
There's a single player Star Wars game.
What about Battlefront 2's campaign?
Single player Star Wars game is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Except who was it that posted that tweet that was like, why did they get Respawn to do it a first person game when they have BioWare? Like.
Right. Yeah. And so I have literature.
Ah, literature. Take us away.
Please do.
So,
I have not looked this up at all.
So, Respawn, obviously, Titanfall, Apex, you mentioned that before.
Uh-huh.
Both multiplayer games,
yes.
As it turns out. Titanfall 2 had single player.
But which was terrific.
Yeah, no, which I've heard was great.
It's a terrific single player experience.
It's something I've been meaning to go back and play.
Exceptionally well-designed levels in that game.
Yeah. Apex Legends, obviously, the most recent game they put out, being a Battle Royale game.
Mm-hmm.
A very good Battle Royale game. And EA also have a company named BioWare. Now, BioWare put out a game recently called Anthem.
Oh, if only we had spoken about this on a recent podcast.
Yeah, so Anthem is a only multiplayer game, mm-hmm. for the most part. You can play it on your own, but the game strongly encourages you and pushes you to play with other people.
And you have to be online.
Always have to be online. It's Destiny.
Yeah.
It's Destiny.
Yeah.
Now, BioWare's previous games was Dragon Age,
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Previous games.
Oh, games.
Yeah. Games was Dragon Age, Mass Effect,
KOTOR.
And yeah, Knights of the Old Republic, like years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And they got. So EA told them to make a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
And told Respawn to make a single player game.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. I'm pretty sure they pitched these games. I feel like I remember at some point hearing that BioWare wanted to make Anthem.
Well, I mean, BioWare, from what we were talking about last week...
They didn't know what Anthem was until fucking Anthem went in beta anyway.
Well, yeah, but BioWare, I think, was in pre-production before they got the Star Wars contract.
Yeah.
They were already working on that game before they got the contract, so that's probably why BioWare was tied up for that.
They
should have cancelled Anthem.
Yeah, or at least shelved it.
Absolutely, and then pivoted hard for that Star Wars game, because it would have been a much smarter move for them to do that. But
yeah.
Anyway,
so there's a new game coming out. The first time they've made a single player game since a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you when. Was it Force Unleashed 2?
Unless you want to count the Kinect Star Wars games.
I don't.
Right, okay, then Star Wars Force Unleashed 2. Not a fan of Han Solo as Jason Derulo's song.
Han Solo. Yeah. I'm Han Solo. Yeah. I'm Han Solo.
That wasn't in the game, was it?
Yeah, it was.
I'm Han Solo.
It was
Solo.
In the Kinect Star Wars
I have to buy
game.
A Kinect immediately.
Yeah. So, Amy Hennig.
Hennig.
Hennig, really?
No, there's two in the middle, none on the end.
I've been saying her name wrong this entire time.
Are you a real games journalist?
Turns out. No. Well, I don't know. Is it in my Twitter bio? I'll talk to you about that later. remind me to bring that up. So
oh, no, that sounds serious.
No, I remember. I think I remember hearing.
Yeah,
about that. Yeah,
yeah. I did link it. So Amy Hennig's game was
the
made
one
by
at Visceral.
Visceral, yeah.
Visceral,
the one that got canned, and then the studio got shut down by EA
at the end of 2017.
Yes. So I'm trying to see where the interview was taking place, but Amy Hennig basically saying she's not sure how this came about when her project was cancelled.
Yeah.
And she's quoted here saying, in reference to her, the idea of a single player game made by EA.
Yes.
That was very clearly not an acceptable plan when we were working on Ragtag, which was the name for their game.
Yeah, that was their code name, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, things change, she said.
Yeah, so that was nearly 2 years ago that Visceral got shut down. Yeah. About 18 months.
The decision to cancel Ragtag was made in summer 2017. We found out in October 2017, so that's almost 2 years ago. So a lot has changed, and there's been a pretty public and vocal backlash against the idea gamers don't want single-player finite games without all of these extra modes.
And I mean, that's true, because like that game got cancelled right before Battlefront 2 came out, which was it was the watershed moment for backlash against against loot boxes and against heavy monetization in games like that. And,
yeah, like there was a huge,
and the lackluster single story mode as well.
Yeah. You know, she went on to say that, you know, she's excited about the game and everything. But yeah, it's interesting how much a company can change in 2 years when they realize that if they keep doing what they're doing, there will be government investigations into gambling, into video games, and also people actually do want single player games.
Yeah, totally. And
especially in the last year that Sony had.
Oh, absolutely. What a gangbusters year they had. And it's interesting because in those last couple of years, there's been a lot of change in Sony, in EA's executive lineup as well. Patrick Söderlund isn't there anymore. I think Jade Raymond is gone as well. I think she's at Google now.
I think Patrick Söderlund was the one that was pushing everyone to use the same engine.
Frostbite?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure he was the one that was spearheading to get all EA projects onto Frostbite, which is where a lot of Anthem's issues lie.
That's true. And also, this next game is in Unreal.
Oh, fuck, is it?
It's not in Frostbite. Mm. I'm pretty sure Titanfall... Really? Titanfall isn't in Frostbite at all. I don't think any of Respawn's games are in Frostbite.
Well, Apex definitely isn't.
And I don't think Titanfall is. And this next one isn't. That's because at the end of the trailer, it says, you know, footage from the Unreal Engine or something like that.
That's a clear sign of EA's management shouldn't tell them what engine to use just because they own it, considering games might be better in different engines.
Totally. And like,
considering there's no fucking tools for their engine currently.
I know. It's a thing. Because like, on the one hand, it makes sense. You cut costs because you've got this one engine that you own. That is yours. This is EA's engine. Let's use it for all of EA's things. Then we don't have to license it. We don't have to pay anyone royalties for when the game sells anything. Sure, that makes sense. But the problem is they didn't design it for other people to use it. Mm. So it creates a whole lot of headaches for anyone who tries to do it. And it makes development take longer. It worsens the attitude of the people working on it because they can't get anything done in the way they want to. And if they put the time and money and effort into developing the engine into something that everyone could use when they made the decision that everyone should use it like 5 or 7 years ago or whenever, then maybe things would be different now. But alas... Yeah. Hindsight's 2020. I say that like I have any sort of business acumen at all. Like, I think this podcast group is my business acumen, which says a whole lot.
Yeah. So Jedi Fallen Order is a single player game set in between 3 and 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your character is.
Why is everything set in between 3 and 4?
Because it's quite a time gap, right, between 3 and 4. It's like 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's quite rich. A lot changes between then. A lot changes between the end of 3 and the start of 4. It's like the
I'm so over that time period.
I mean, I think that's fair, because that's what Star Wars Unleashed was.
Yep. Star Wars Unleashed, Rogue One, the Clone Wars went into that period.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the Mandalorian is in that period as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The Solo movies in that period as well.
Yep.
Can we get away from that time period, please? There's so much of Star Wars and they keep focusing on that one little time bit.
It's interesting because, like, the extended universe stuff was all like, well before and well after and stuff like that.
It was directly before and directly after as well. It was everywhere.
Yeah. And since they canned the extended universe, they've really narrowed it down.
They had Luke's clone. You know what Luke's clone was called?
Kluke?
No, it was Luke with two U's. I'm not kidding.
Luke.
It's Jedi Fallen Order has got Cameron Monaghan in it.
Luke,
who is a actor and is a very good actor.
He's an actor.
He's been in Shameless and Gotham and a couple other things, I'm assuming. He's a really good actor and he can play over the top Star Wars very well.
Yeah, totally. Like, the gameplay looks slick, the trailer looks slick. I'm keen for this one.
Yeah.
Because they've given this one time, honestly. They've given it time to incubate and really...
Well, they said they didn't cancel it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So, they gave it a... Do either of you remember the weird way they revealed this game?
You mean at E3 last year?
Yeah.
When Andrea Renee just sat down in the crowd with one of the lead developers and they spoke about the name of it? Yeah.
that felt so off the cuff.
Yeah, because they didn't have anything to show. All they had was the title.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. But it was better than them like rushing something out.
I feel like they could have just done a logo reveal.
Yeah. That whole E3 conference was weird, though, because that was when they also had the BioWare developers sit on like camp chairs or like director's chairs. And that's what it was. It was director's chairs front of a giant TV wall that just had one picture of Anthem on it, and they didn't show any footage. was their E3.
They showed the same footage over and over again.
Oh, that's right. It was all really cut up.
Yeah, there was a snippet of footage, and yeah, like according to one of the articles that Jason Schreier put out, that was the first time a lot of them had seen what that game actually was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh dear. BioWare.
I mean, hey, they're not doing E3 this year, so.
Yeah.
They're not doing their regular EA Play conference.
Oh, good. No one likes it.
Shots fired, Andrew
Wilson.
That
was rude. I apologize, Andrew Wilson. So, jumping off of that, I wanted to talk about... last episode, we were talking about the easy mode, accessibility in games, Sekiro debate that was happening on the internet around the time that we were recording this last, about, you know, whether the games that From Software make that are notoriously difficult, whether they should have modes that make it less difficult for those who choose to use them.
Yeah.
Which is apparently a very controversial thing to say. That conversation sort of died down, as it naturally does over time, and that makes sense. But there's this one person who's been like a very vocal part of that conversation. His name's Steve Spohn, which I think it is. I don't know how to say his last name. It's Spohn.
That sounds right.
He's the COO of Able Gamers, and he's an accessibility advocate in games. And he's been very active in this debate. And he came out with this article that sort of puts a full stop on his responses to all of the different arguments for why and why not games should be in it, and his response for that. And so I just kind of wanted to call it out here because I think it's one of the most comprehensive responses that he specifically goes through every like permutation of argument he's been sent when going through this whole thing. So he's got like eight or nine different responses. Like argument one, this ruins the artistic vision. Argument two, people are going to use it who don't need to use it. Argument three, and almost every time it goes to yes, like that might happen, but if you don't want that to happen, you don't have to choose to do that. And that means that you can still do it the way that the design is intended for you to, and that robs you of your experience, nothing. And so I just wanted to give him a shout out, not just because I think he's right, but because I think it's the most mediated and empathetic response out of all of this, which I think is something that this conversation sorely lacks. Because a lot of people get into this sort of defensive position of, this is how I thought the game should be played. I got a lot out of this game because of X. Which means if anyone gets to experience this game another way, that invalidates my opinion or something like that, or my experience.
Which is just gatekeeping.
It is.
Yeah.
It is gatekeeping. saying that a game isn't for you, so go find another game, which is one of his responses. He said, that's the most heartbreaking thing, because it's like, there's no reason why this can't be for me.
Yeah.
Like, that means they have, like, they've either been, they've had a lack of thought that they haven't included someone else, or they've actively not put in the time because they've thought of it and decided not to do it. So I just sort of want to read from the bottom of this article a little bit. There's this analogy that he comes after. It comes after all of the responses to the arguments. So it's a segment, and it starts with, your favorite pie. He says, so this is all quote. He says, I really enjoy a good apple pie. It's sweet and delicious and just the right consistency. My family prefers blueberry pie. Personally, I don't understand why anybody eats blueberry pies, but it doesn't affect my experience eating the apple pie when my family consumes a blueberry pie. It's from the same baker, and it's in the same box when I bring it home from the bakery, and my experience eating a pie from that bakery is just as good even if they enjoy a different flavor. And at the bottom, he says, Sekiro doesn't need an easy mode, it needs an equal mode. How you choose to play a single-player game is not affected by how anyone else chooses to play the same single-player game. And I just can't help but get behind that. I think that's an excellent and well-measured assessment of the situation.
Yeah, like, when all that stuff was happening, I remember seeing him everywhere, replying to everybody, you know, trying to, you know, he's not just trying to go to everyone and say, like, no, you're wrong, this is what it is. He's trying to, like legitimately educate people.
Yeah, yeah.
On their, you know, ignorance on a subject which they might not be as familiar with as someone who, like... He is disabled, mm-hmm. and so he knows a lot about this, as it turns out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so his responses are always very, very, very leveled.
Yeah, and absolutely. Measured. Absolutely. He's a very erudite individual. He's an excellent writer. There's another analogy he has in here. I don't know where it is, but he was talking about how when he goes to work out with his friend, right? His friend lifts, like, he was saying, like, 150 kilos on some deadlift or whatever. Meanwhile, he's there, and his weight is a roll of quarters. You know, it's just a roll of coins. They're both sweating at the end of it. Both of their biceps are burning, you know, and they've gone for a really hard time working out. And there's no reason why, just because they've done it in different ways and they've had different tolerances and thresholds and stuff like that, that they haven't enjoyed a shared experience together and enjoyed that in a way that has meant similar things for them and is both equally valid and stuff like that.
Mm. That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. So I highly recommend giving it a read. It's not his pinned tweet, but it's at the top at the moment. Lots of people are responding to it and quote tweeting it.
Maybe we'll chuck it in the bio.
In the link.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll throw it in the bottom there. So it's what's the headline for the article? Forget easy mode. Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. Need an equal mode. That's the article on digitaltrends.com. So yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. What else have we got here on the list?
On the agenda, apart from the multicolored fuck, which has been there for many, many weeks.
Yeah, the question corner prompt. No
one can hear you smile on the podcast, Jen.
I'm smiling really hard.
Oh, I can tell.
What noise were you expecting to come out?
It's the shine of smiling teeth.
I guess this is the last bit, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like a bittersweet ending.
Mm.
Reggie's last day at Nintendo was today.
Yes.
Reggie Fils-Aimé, beautiful, beautiful man.
Mm.
And he only just created a Twitter. And we were talking about it before, like, how the fuck did he get the at Reggie?
Yeah.
Like, just
R-E-G-G-I-E.
Like, how? Anyway, he was posting some really nice photos today of, like, him cleaning up his office and putting on his me head for the last time.
That's so good.
And stuff. If you haven't seen Reggie's Twitter, I would go and have a look at it. It's very, very bittersweet. It's very sweet, though. I will miss that man.
Yeah, me too. Which is interesting because I don't feel like I've actually seen that much of him do stuff.
No?
He's
always such a highlight when Nintendo does directs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. I just feel like I hadn't... I only really started watching Nintendo Directs in, like, the last year or so.
Mm.
And I never really watched Nintendo's E3 conferences.
Right.
When they were still doing them. So I feel like I haven't seen that much of him. But the impressions that I have of him when he does talk, it's so... You know, he still talks with that... you know, I am higher up at a very big company, yeah. and I will only be saying so much. But it's that it's with that Nintendo flair of
he's so charming. Genuity,
exactly, yeah. and it's all about
he was so homely
and
yeah, that's it, homely
and having fun. And
I think you know whenever you see Reggie come on screen, everyone's like Reggie, yeah. like it's always yeah. that one reaction of like Reggie's here, like it's so Reggie,
yeah,
my dad, like
yeah.
he's got such a nice voice.
He's very. Good. I hope
he's everybody's uncle that no longer works at Nintendo.
I hope that
Doug Bowser.
I hope that he's equally as homey.
Mm.
Yeah.
It'll take a while, I think, but I think his last name's Bowser. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's
he's gonna be good. I think.
It's absurd.
Shouldn't shortchange him from the very start.
Yeah. No. It'll be different, but hopefully good.
Yeah.
Directs have mostly been staff from Japan more recently, I feel like.
Yeah. Did you see the very loose people that were the people that were thinking that he was loosely teasing a Mother 3 announcement as he was gonna go.
Oh geez, that's a bit desperate, isn't it?
No, like because he changed his Twitter a cover photo to Icy Mountains, which is a location in Mother 3. And then another head of Nintendo changes profile picture also to Icy Mountains.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, look, it's a Mother 3. And then, that's right, he had the model used in the Robot Chicken Nintendo Direct, which is using the same clothes that was from a Mother 3.
Hell.
I know.
Oh, it's a reach.
That's a
stretch. I mean, it was a in-jest.
Right.
Like speculation.
Yeah.
I think some people weren't taking it a little bit too seriously. but like a lot of people were just laughing at it.
Oh, that's
funny. But I was thinking, like, imagine that, like, on, you know, he leaves, or like the next direct, which happens in like a week or whatever.
Yeah.
He rocks up to say goodbye, and oh, by the way, here's Mother 3 or something.
Yeah. What a way to fucking go out, yeah. though.
You'd hope that would be a message of convenience rather than like, you better get the game out on time. Yeah. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah,
here we are at the end of yet another episode. Thank you for joining us. As always, you can find this podcast, our other podcast, and potentially our upcoming third podcast, Tease, Hint, Hint, Wink,
Ooh.
Wink, Say No More, on minimap.com.au. you can also find them on any podcast service that they're on most. If there's anything...
They're on all. They're on all.
But if there's anything that it's not on that you want it to be, let
us know. Don't listen to your podcast on SoundCloud. Go to a better service.
If you want that, I'm happy to pander to you, even if Jeremy isn't. Jeremy, where can they find you, non-panderer?
They can find me on Twitter at @obi1jez.
SoundCloud elitist. You could find me at @kjpalmer_24. June, where can they find you?
Junez, JUN_ESS.
Excellent. You can find the Minimap Twitter at @minimapau. You can also find our Game Spoilers Twitter for our Game Spoilers podcast. That's @GameSpoilersPod. We tend to point out sales on our upcoming games or games we've done in the past over there. Yes, like we said before, our next game for that one is Wolfenstein 2. Our previous game was Sea of Thieves, which we had a great amount of fun with. I recommend you listen to that. As well as you can watch our... sort of experiment series Game Spoilers Plays, which was a bunch of fun gameplay videos of us playing Sea of Thieves. They're great fun, and I spent a lot of time on them, and I'd love if you could give it a watch. So yeah, until 2 weeks from now, we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.